But first, we're serious about getting data points on the confusing issue of where is the housing market right now.
Hi, my name is Carla Wynn, and I'm calling as a listener on WEAA. I live in the Carroll Hilton neighborhood of Baltimore City. And although my street has only two blocks and there are no for sale signs or foreclosure signs around the corner on Hilton Street, on Rosedale Street, there are about five or six for sale signs, one auction sign, and about 10 to 12 houses that are boarded up.
Thanks for that, Carla. We are looking for data points all around America on housing. Go outside, take a look at what's literally going on your block. And then Nicholas Retsinas, a professor and director of the Joint Center for Housing Studies at Harvard University, we're putting together some data points for you. Are you listening carefully?
Yes, I am.
All right, we're going to get some people on here who are eyewitnesses of various parts of the housing industry, and I'm going to come back to you and see if a picture is starting to come into focus as we move through the conversation, okay?
Of course.
All right. And, of course, we want you to call us at 877-8-MY-TAKE or MyTake at thetakeaway.org. We begin with Ken Ebaugh, who's a senior mortgage banker with Paramount. He's on the line from Detroit, Michigan. You are an eyewitness to the question of whether credit availability is beginning to loosen up and enable people to buy homes. What are you seeing, Ken?
Good morning. I see it's a great time and a very exciting time to be a first-time home buyer. Credit itself has been about the same for the last six to 12 months, and people are getting into the game a little bit more right now to try to take advantage of the first-time home buyer tax credit.
And again, that's going to run out in December, and there was talk by the Federal Reserve that maybe they would end that early. How significant is that first-time home buyer tax credit in your business?
Very significant. I think it's pulling people off the fence who are sitting there as either renters or people looking to get into the market, and now they realize that November 30th is looming, and that is the drop-dead date right now to take advantage of the first-time home buyer credit and actually purchase a home by that date to take advantage of the credit.
All right, Ken, I want you to sit there and count on your fingers, and I'll come back to you in a second, the number of people who've come off the fence because of that first-time home buyer tax credit. We'll come back to you and get a hard number, all right? Behrouz Shahidi is a real estate agent in New Jersey, and he's been on the program before. Behrouz, you are an eyewitness to the actual retail end here. Are you seeing more people looking for homes and actually going to contract?
Good morning. Yes, there are many more people that are looking, and are they actually going to contract? That's a different question.
So you're seeing a buzz, but not necessarily the transactions that are actually making the money change hands.
Yep.
All right. Eric Mattinson is a banker from Greensboro and owner of a new home. He bought the home in August, and you are a first-time home buyer, Eric. Is that true?
Yes, sir. That's correct.
So you can check $8,000 coming to me on your tax return next year, right?
I don't know if it's coming to you, but I'm looking forward to it.
Now, Ken Ebaugh just a moment ago said that the tax credit pulled people off the fence and brought them into the market. Is that the case with you?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So you wouldn't have done it. You would not have done it without that $8,000 tax credit.
I mean, there was one other factor that led to it, and that was our neighborhood we were currently in was going to get bulldozed by eminent domain.
Well, that'll cause you to move. Yeah.
I mean, you know, but we wouldn't necessarily have bought a house. You know, my wife's a stay-at-home mom, and so it had to be the right time. And you know, the market also helped that there was a depressed market in the economy and so forth. So, but we really needed that in order to be able to purchase a home that we wanted and the size that we wanted and be able to fix it up the way we wanted.
Right. All right, Eric, I'm going to give you a little homework, too, like I gave Ken Ebaugh. I want you to sit and think about the number, and it could be a price number, it could be an interest rate number, it could be a monthly payment number that gets you into the market. What was it? I'm going to come back and ask you. And, Behrouz, some homework for you as well. How many customers going to contract represents a turnaround for you? Sit and think about that number, and I want to talk to Nicholas Retsinas here for a moment. So there's an interesting picture. You've got houses for sale in Baltimore and foreclosure signs and a dozen houses that are boarded up. You've got Ken Ebaugh saying it's a great time, but things are only happening a little bit. Behrouz sounds a little depressed out there. And Eric is a first-time homebuyer.
Well, it's certainly information is mixed as the data is mixed. I think the picture that you've painted, and it's a pretty good picture, are people on the sidelines, teetering of whether to buy or not. For those who are not first-time home buyers and who don't get the credit, they're still a little wary. Has the market reached the bottom? Is this the good time to buy? For first-time home buyers, sure, the government's giving me money. It's an incentive. If I'm at the border, if this works for me, if the numbers work for me. But I still think there is this skittishness in the general market. People just not quite sure, are we out of it yet?
Right. Well, let's talk a little bit about the tone of the three voices that we talked to, and I want to go back to them and get their numbers in just a moment. I mean, is this an argument for the federal government maybe providing an incentive to more than just first-time home buyers or extending this? I mean, I'm a little worried that on November 30th, we're going to see an even bigger drop in home sales.
Well, it would be difficult to overstate the government's involvement in the housing market. In the third quarter, it looks like about 90% of all mortgages will be guaranteed, securitized, insured, held by the federal government. You couple that with this general this home buyer sort of tax credit, you have a major financial contribution. I think there's no question, as you look at the housing market, it's still fragile. So the withdrawal of any of the government support could undermine the recovery. Huh. On the other hand, one has to ask the question, how sustainable is this level of government support over the long term?
Right. Well, that's the great question.
This kind of government support tells us the market isn't healthy to operate on its own, and that's still a worry.
And that's a takeaway. The federal government is buying 90 and securitizing 90% of the mortgages at this current level. Nicholas Ritsinas is professor and director of the Joint Center for Housing Studies at Harvard University. Okay, homework time. Ken Ebaugh, how many customers did you deal with in the last couple of months that were pulled off the fence because of that $8,000 federal tax credit?
I would say there was an additional 40% of my customers that, if to give you a general number, if I were to close 8 to 10 transactions in a month, now there'd probably be 14 to, 17. It just depends on my wife is a realtor in the area, and she has seen a great drive to push towards purchasing a home at this point because if people want to take advantage of the tax credit and get into the game.
Ken, I know how cagey you have to be in the real estate game. I understand totally, but I'm hearing a number about the 7 or 8 there. Okay, right, Ken?
Oh, sure.
Okay, great. Behrouz, how many people would it take for you to say this is a turnaround?
At least, in a monthly basis, at least if I have 3 more people talking to me about it to 5 more people, I would look at it more optimistically. People talk, but if the transaction occurs, that's
so that's an average of 4 people.
Yeah, that's 4. And you don't sound very happy, Behrouz. I mean, the last time we spoke to you, you were like really over the moon because you're such a straight-ahead business person, but you don't sound happy this morning.
I came back to the earth.
Whoa. There's your takeaway. All right, Eric Mattinson, a banker from Greensboro and owner of a new home. All right, what was the number, payment, interest rate, or home price that brought you back in here?
I can give them all to you. I wanted in the ballpark of 5.25. I didn't. I wanted my payment with everything escrow to be $900. And the price, with those figures had to be in the ballpark of 130.
All right. So. And they got you there, obviously. Yep. Well, Eric Mattinson, thanks so much. Banker from Greensboro, North Carolina. Behrouz Shahidi is a real estate agent in New Jersey. And Ken Ebaugh, senior mortgage banker with Paramount Bank in Detroit, Michigan. Ken, Behrouz, and Eric, thanks so much.
No problem. Have a great morning.
Pretty interesting stuff, Nick. We're going to have to take this data and, think about it and talk to you next month.
Yeah, sure. Again, I think this is probably the big takeaway from those conversations are it's a little too early to take out the balloons.
Yes.
I don't think we're ready to declare victory yet.
He's come back to
Keeping
Earth.
Keeping the balloons in our desk. Nicholas Ritsinas, professor and director of the Joint Center for Housing Studies at Harvard University.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.